This is what the Lord has said in Psalm 44. For the sons of Korah, Maskil. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people, and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies, through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. But thou hast cast off, and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. Thus far in Psalm 44, we saw the first section of the psalm to be very confident. God's bringing the victory in the past gave David and his generation hope that God would give them the victory as well. But the second section shows that this was far from the present situation. Not only has God not given Israel the victory, he has resoundingly given the enemy the victory. Israel has been given as sheep for their food. Israelites were being sold into foreign lands. Yet God gained nothing by selling his people off. Finally, we began looking into the third section and David's profession of Israel's faithfulness to God. They were faithful to him even though God was the one who was crushing them. Some may say, looking at Israel's confession of their faithfulness to God, that this was a shallow faithfulness. They came near to God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. God saw their true hearts and gave them over to their enemies because of their hypocritical ways. But the statements of verses 20 and 21 leave no room for such an accusation against the righteous nation. David says to God, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Israel affirms their innocence of having a hypocritical heart. They present the possibility that if they had forgotten the name of God, or stretched out their hands to other gods, then certainly the God who knows the hidden motives of the heart would know this. But instead of hiding a hypocritical heart, they want God to see and to witness how sincere their heart really is. The God who is bringing destruction is the God who himself shall witness that Israel is righteous and innocent of any betrayal against him. Instead of forgetting God's name, they consistently called out to God alone, showing their dependence on him alone, not on any idol, for their salvation. So the hope in God, which we saw expressed by the nation in the first section of the psalm, has been their hope even though they had been rejected and crushed by God himself, the one they were taking hope in. Well then, if it was not because of their wickedness, why were they being dealt with so harshly by God and the enemies? The answer comes in verse 22. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. It was because of their love, their faithfulness to Jehovah, the God of Israel, that they were being killed. The wicked do not like those who are more righteous than they are. They do not like those who remain faithful to a God who condemns them and their false religion, their false morality, their false claims of independence and autonomy. The Gentiles hated the Israelites because they were in a special covenant relationship with God. Moab and Ammon, the descendants of Lot, were not granted the blessings of Lot's uncle Abraham. The descendants of Ishmael were rejected, with all the descendants of Abraham's later wife Keturah, because Isaac alone was the child of promise. But particularly in the background of Psalm 44, Esau and his descendants in Edom hated Israel because of the blessing Jacob received when he tricked his father Isaac. Israel was in a special covenant with Jehovah, the God of Israel. Their claim on the land remained legitimate, while Esau's claim to God's blessings were shallow at best. The resentment, therefore, of the nation of Edom was focused against this people of God, and it was for God's sake, because Israel refused to turn from God and his ways, that Israel was now suffering under the wrath of Edom. So we may ask, why do we suffer? Why do things not go our way, even after we have asked God to cause them to go our way? Did not God say that if we ask anything in his name, we will receive it? But like Israel, with sincere faith we stretch out our hands to a God who brings us down. We put our hope in a God who puts us in a situation to seemingly wither and die. God even uses our faithfulness to him to place us in such situations. If we did not obey God, we would not have fallen as victims. It is for God's sake that we are killed all the day long. Now, this is not always the case. Sometimes it is because of our sin that we suffer. And Peter says that if we suffer for our sins, what thank have we from God? Yet often enough, there are also these situations where righteous men suffer because they are righteous. Remember Job, a man who was upright and feared God, turning away from evil, set up as a target by God for Satan to attack. Why would a faithful God do this? Why should we trust in a God who would do this? Well, one answer is because he is God. He has complete right to do with us as he wills. Remember God's response to all of Job's protests. He showed Job the world around him and pointed out all that Job did not and could not understand. He also challenged Job to tackle the Leviathan, to remember the battle and do no more. Whereas Job, in all of his righteousness, could not stand in the place of God, God could do anything he wished, even cause Job's misfortune. But let us also remember that it was the same God who then turned Job's misfortune and blessed him double what he had done before. Let us also remember that as it is for God's sake that we are killed all the day long, it is also the case, as Jesus says, that blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Those who suffer for God are also rewarded 10,000-fold in the presence of God, just as the reward of the prophets is rich and secure. So when God brings trouble, and the wording of Psalm 44 cannot be explained in any other way but God bringing the trouble to Israel, when God brings trouble, remember that God will also bring great blessings and reward to those who are faithful to Him. Trust in His goodness and wait on His mercy. He will demonstrate His love to you without fail. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let us consider Psalm 44:22 in light of Paul's usage of it in Romans 8. Paul says in verse 31 and following, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just as David expressed hope in God, that if God goes forth into the battle with Israel, that Israel will win, so Paul here says, if God be for us, who can be against us? No one can oppose us when God is on our side. But Paul here expresses his hope with a clear focus on Christ and what he has done already to assure us of such a victory. He says, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Do you see what Christ has done already for our salvation? There is even more hope given to us beyond the expressions of hope David gave in Psalm 44. If God sacrificed Christ, as he did on the cross, will not he give us all things? The world to come is assured to us. Seeing how determined God was to even sacrifice Christ so that we can become inheritors of the promises in the new covenant assures us that God, through Christ's working, shall give us all that we shall inherit. None of his promises will fail. So then, who can charge the elect with sin when God has already justified them in the righteousness of Christ? And who can condemn them to death, seeing that Christ himself died in our place and has risen with us in him? As Paul says elsewhere, we have already risen from the dead in Christ. And even more, Christ is presently praying for us at the right hand of God. How can we be defeated when he is praying for our victory? These are the realities of our state presently in Christ. Then Paul asks a very significant question for all of us to consider. Considering the love that Christ has demonstrated and is demonstrating to us, how can the troubles we face in this world separate us from Christ's love? And he gives us a list of such troubles: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Paul confirms that these are the present troubles faced by Christians when he quotes from Psalm 44, verse 22. As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." So does not our death by these means demonstrate that God's love has been removed from us? Paul answers strongly in the negative. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fellow Christians, we will suffer in this world. We may, by our suffering, determine that God is against us. But though His actions may bring us to shame or poverty or weakness or even death, His heart will never leave us. His love to us in Christ is as sure as His sacrifice of Christ was for us, as His resurrection of Christ was with us, as Christ's present intercession benefits us, as the promises in Christ's covenant was made to us. Though we suffer as Job did, or be murdered as many of the prophets were, these are not evidences of God's hatred to us. His love is already our guarantee in Christ. We will see one day how even God's acts to bring us down were part of all things working together for the good of those who love Him. So what must we do when God's actions frustrate us and humble us and stop us and bewilder us and rob us and kill us? In all these things, let us follow the example of Israel in Psalm 44. We must remain faithful to God. We must keep our hands stretched out to Him. Seek His mercy, because His mercy in Christ endures forever. As God did for Job in the end, as God did for David and Israel in the Valley of Salt, so God will do for all of His children. His time of destruction, His trying of our faith will expire, and He will turn to give us a blessing. Even when God brings our destruction, we have no other hope but Him. There is one lesson which the words of Psalm 44 makes very clear for us. It demonstrates its rightful place in the Psalm book for the church throughout all ages. For God has not yet finished His work, both His work to cause troubles and problems and difficulties to arise in our lives, and also His work to bring mercy and blessings and victory in our lives. We continue to need Psalm 44 as our song to express our hope that God will deliver us, our complaint for what God has done to bring us to such troubles, our faithfulness to God in the midst of the trouble He has brought, and our request for God to save us.